Today we'll learn a little bit about Arvus, and I think Thursday also maybe we'll continue, or maybe I'll do something different, we'll decide about Thursday, but this is a big topic. We're certainly not going to cover all the various pieces of it and all the various applications of it, but it's a very important yisod to have in your back pocket. You're going to encounter it a lot as you learn more, especially in Halacha. So the Gemara tells us in the bottom of Rosh Hashanah Chav Tes Amud Aleph here, the din that Tani Ava Breder Bizera, called Brachos Kulan, that even though a person may have been yotze, a particular bracha, he could still be motzi, somebody else, with the exception of chutz mibirchas lechem ubirchas ayin, shim lo yotze motzi vim yotze ein motzi, which means birchas anenin, you cannot be motzi someone else. So birchas lechem and birchas ayin are just examples of a birchas anenin. So if I'm not being yotze, I'm not drinking water, I can't say a shahakal for you. So it doesn't work that way. But all other mitzvah, brachas, birchas and mitzvahs, I would be able to emote to you even though I was already yote. And that works through the mechanism, as you saw in Rashi, Sherei kol Yisrael arevim ze bezeh lemitzvahs, that we are all connected to each other, we're all responsible for each other. That's Rashi's line. So there's a very important machlokas between the Ran and the Ritva in understanding the nature of Arvus. So the Ran tells us on the back in the Rif, he explains to us the din of Sherei Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh B'mitzvos V'chevin Shlo Yotza Chavero K'mi Shlo Yotza Hu Dami. That from the very fact that my friend or neighbor has not fulfilled this obligation, it's as if I didn't fulfill my obligation. It becomes my obligation. His obligation is my obligation. It's Ki'ilu I'm Chayv. While the Ritva writes, it's Ka'arev HaPareachov Chavero. Very different. I'm paying off his outstanding debt. I'm covering him. Not that I'm chayv. I'm not chayv. I'm pater. But I'm just responsible for him. It's kiporeya chov chavero. While again, the Ran says, it's as if I myself am chayv. So that's a very, very important machlokas. Rishon, we're going to see a number of applications. So you see this in many areas. It's just a hakir to keep in mind. Always, we discussed Shomea Ka'one earlier in the summer, that when I hear someone speaking, I hear the shofar, it's ki'ilu, I'm blowing the shofar, it's ki'ilu, I'm saying the words, or no, it's I'm shomei, I'm not ka'one, it's not ka'one mamish, I'm not like speaking myself, it's there's a disconnect between me and him. So that's the Ritva. The Ritva is like, pareachov, I'm paying off his debt, but it's not my obligation. Similarly, we have hirhur k'dibur dami. We have the concept the Gemara itself talks about, I think we may have even addressed this a little bit, hirhur k'dibur. I came up in Daf Yomi recently, that when I think about something, is it as if I'm actually saying it? Or no, it's like Dibur, but not really Dibur. The big nafkamina would be, you wake up in the morning, and you didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Can one think? Can one be Mahaher B'Divrei Torah Kodem Birchas HaTorah? We assume you are allowed to. Here is Lav K'Dibur Dami, and you may think of Torah before Birchas HaTorah. There is one who argues, who knows who argues on this? The Gra said, hear her, Kidibur Dami, you cannot say Birchas HaTorah. There's a famous the Gra statement that he said, he something along the lines of he never sinned in his life other than the 8 minutes of him thinking of learning before he said Birchas HaTorah. So every day, the few seconds when he woke up, he wasn't able to say Birchas HaTorah quick enough. He had some thoughts of Torah. So those few seconds added up to like 8 minutes in his whole life. That was like his one avera that he had said. That's how the Masorah goes. And it was only, according to his Shita, that you can't think of Torah before learning, before bracha. But we paskin that according to our psak, that you're allowed to think of Torah before. He didn't do anything wrong. He'd mamish a tzaddik legamre. Either way, he's a tzaddik legamre, but zero averus at all. So you have this concept to how much do you view, is there a disconnect between things, or it's mamish as if you're doing the action of hira kadib or shemek ona. We discussed lifting iver as well, it came up once. So here as well, when we say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh, Bazeh, is it that I am chayiv myself? If you're chayiv, it's mamish, like I'm chayiv, it's like ishto kegufo, kol guf echad, or no, I'm being pareya, chov chaver. So the fascinating discussion in the stencils, the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik on Brachos, we ask an interesting question for the Mishnah Lamelech, about this Indian of Arvus as a medjish, about Arevim Zelazen, and the children, Baneinu Arevim Osanu, they serve as the cosigner for the mistakes, the punishments, of errors of their father. So it's a very hard thing to understand. So how could it be that arvus of the banim, we say that if arvus is really the term that we should be using, well, arvus in halacha and choshe mishpat, the way it works, if you have a loan and there's a cosigner in your mortgage, so you know, take out a mortgage, you take out a $500,000 loan from the bank, and you have a cosigner. So the bank comes to collect the money from you. Now, if you don't have the money to pay for it, so then they'll get from the cosigner, but they don't go directly to the Ariv. So if a father sins and the father's alive, why would they chase after the son to punish the son? He's the Ariv. You should chase after the father first. He's the he's the Baal Chov here. So how could that be that you punish the children before you punish the father, if the father was the one who owes the money, if you will? So Rav Chaim just lays out that there are two types of cosigners. There's what's called an Ariv Stam, a regular case, what I just explained. He's the backup in case the primary Baal Chov can't pay. He's willing to back him up. And then there's another type, what's called the Kablan. The Kablan says, I'm willing to take on the entire loan, Lichatchila, whereby the bank could actually collect from the Kablan before the actual borrower. So if I sign in a contract in a house from the borrower from the bank and there's a Kablan on my document, they could decide to go directly to him if they want, instead of going to me to collect the money. So what type of Ariv do we speak of? Koyisol Arivim Zebazeh. Is it an Ariv that he's just a backup? He's just ensuring that the loan is paid, but really you should collect from the actual borrower? Or Mamish becomes the borrower himself. Mamish Ke'ilu Hischai, where you could collect first, even from the Kablam. That's the Chakira Reb Chaim lays out. And so Reb Chaim, he concludes, based on the Rush, his understanding of the Rush, that he says, how is it possible that this Arvus, you could say the words, Asher Kedishan B'mitzos V'tzivan. I'm saying a bracha for you. How can I say Asher Kedishan B'mitzos V'tzivan? I'm not commanded. I fulfill my obligation. It's no longer a chiyuv for me, for whatever the Birchas Mitzvah is. For Shofar, Megillas Esther. It's not a tzivanu. So Elamai says, Reb Chaim, it must be that it's an Ariv that's a Kablam. That when I'm trying to be motzi you through Arvus, it's kilu I'm chayiv myself. When you didn't fulfill your obligation, it's like I didn't fulfill my obligation. I could say the words Asher Tzivanu, Asher Kedisham Mitzvah V'Tzivanu. That's Reb Chaim's understanding. Every cosigner in the world of Arvus is a Kablam. It's mamish as if you're not chayiv, you didn't fulfill the obligation. So when you see the Lubavitchers putting tefillin on people who are not frum, it's because they feel that not only do they love every yid, but they also feel that they're lacking. They didn't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin if the other yid didn't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. It's mamish, I didn't wear tefillin today. So they make sure that they also wear tefillin because we're all connected. It's kilu, you have an outstanding obligation. And after making this assumption, Reb Chaim says we could understand now the Mishnah Melech's question as to why when a father does an avera, the Medrash says sometimes the punishment is taken out on the children, la'aleinu, because the children as Arevim are the cosigners as a Kablan. It's kilu they have not fulfilled their obligation as well. Kilu they violated the same Averas and are just as responsible as the ones, the Avarian himself. So that's the Chakira. So Reb Chaim takes his side, but this is really a Chakira Machlokas we've shown between the Ran and the Ritva, where the Kilu Yerchayiv, where you're simply being Parea, someone else's Chov. So we have a number of different mitzvahs in the Torah that really show one's responsibility for other people, and you could raise this question for all of them. The mitzvah of Tochacha, for example, the mitzvah of rebuke, of you see someone doing something wrong, you have to rebuke them, lest they do that Avera, to prevent them from doing an Avera. You have chinuch as well, that responsibility of a parent to a child. You have this thing come up in many instances. Another example that comes to mind, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chavtes tells us the mitzvah of Mila. The father, it's a mitzvah av al ben, ben al av. The father needs to ensure that the son, has a bris mila. And the Gemara says that women are exempt. The mothers are not required to ensure that their children have a mila. But there's a Tosas Rid there in the Gemara in Kedushin that says even though they're pater mitzad the din of the darai, so there's an inyan of lishtadel, that the mother should be mishtadel the mitzvah. What's that inyan of mishtadel? Because there's a certain level that even though a person may not be chayiv themselves in the mitzvah, when someone else has outstanding obligation, there's a certain ishtadel you have to do to ensure that they get the mitzvah as well. So you have many instances of these examples where there's responsibility of one another to make sure that we're all keeping the Torah, whether performing mitzvahs or not violating averus. So if you got a chance to look at Kovit Shira and Rav Chanan, it's a little bit of a tricky, it's a tough read. But what comes out from his whole discussion is whether the mitzvah of Tochacha and Arvis are those two different mitzvahs or is that one mitzvah. Tochacha is certainly, I think the understanding, the assumption, Tochacha is not that it's my obligation. I'll explain the Chakir and Tochacha in general, just to keep in mind, we're not going to elaborate too much. If I were to ask you what's the purpose of Tochacha, what's the nature of Tochacha, you would all tell me, what's the goal of Tochacha? Prevent the guy from doing an aveira. That's a simple understanding. Now, what happens if a guy doesn't listen? You know the guy won't listen. Is there a mitzvah tochacha in that case? The guy won't listen. Is there any worth in telling him, don't do this? Right? Some Rishonim hold that there is still a mitzvah. What's the guy's not going to listen. I'm just making him from a shogeg to a mezid. What's the value in telling him? In telling him he's doing something wrong? Any thoughts? Tochacha may not only be about preventing someone from doing an aver, but it might also be to protect and to defend the Torah. Kavod HaTorah. You know they won't listen. But I can't stand by watching this guy violate the aver, a blatant aver of the Torah. So by me saying something, that's my expression. Nothing to do with that guy. Nothing to do. It's about me protecting the Torah. The kavod of the Torah. That's Tochacha. But no one assumes Tochacha, however, is translated as if I have the avera, as if I have the obligation. So now, in this discussion, Rav Chanan says that whether tochacha is like arvus or not arvus, it depends on the nature of arvus. Meaning, if you assume arvus is also about poreachov, making sure my guy, my friend, my neighbor doesn't get an avera, or he does the mitzvah, that's like tochacha, making sure someone else is doing the right thing. So you could lump them together, both that worrying about someone else's obligation. But if you assume arvus and tochacha are two different concepts, like the yireim, so then you would have to assume that tochacha is about preventing that other guy. Arvus is different because arvus is as if I am taking on that chiyuv. It's a very different type of mitzvah. When he doesn't do the mitzvah, when he does the avera, it's kilu I am doing the avera, which is very different than tochacha. So this machlokas of the nature of arvus will also dictate whether or not tochacha is grouped together with arvus or it's not. There is a fascinating discussion about when a person's motzi someone else a bracha, does the one being yotze have to say amen? Should you say amen or should you not say amen? What would you think about saying amen or not amen?
Might be a hafzik.
Interesting. It might be a hafzik. Okay.
The mom's the one saying it, so then you wouldn't say a bracha to your own bracha.
So it could be amen, could be amen to your own bracha. We don't say amen to your own bracha. So excellent. So I'll share with you what some of the Achronim weigh in on this particular question. The Ksav Sofer in a tshuva has a discussion. He Or Chaim Sun Chav Zayin. He raises this very chakir. He says, "Im yana shume amen." Does the shume have to say amen? Kevan da mevarach ein tzarach also bracha. Since the bracha, the mevarach himself, he doesn't need the bracha. I'm just doing you a favor. Rak lehotzi, I'm just being motzi the guy. So then, ain't tzarach lomar amen. V'gam ain't a roi. It's not roi for the shomer to say amen because my bracha is not for me. It's entirely for you. And havalei, like Yosef said, ka'one amen abracha atma. It's like you're saying amen to your own bracha. When I'm saying it for you, Reuven, so that it's not my bracha. It's Reuven's bracha. So how could Reuven say amen on his own bracha? Onema, kevan da mevarech motzia mishim arvis. Maybe you should say that since when you don't have your mitzvah fulfilled, it's as if I also have not fulfilled my mitzvah, so I'm actually saying the bracha for myself now also. And once it's a bracha for myself, says Ksav Sofer, it would be fitting for you to say amen. But what happens Kiddush? Kiddush, I'm saying Kiddush. You say amen to my bracha. Ah, it's working for you as well, isn't it? How would you say amen? Aren't you being outside? Because I'm saying the bracha for myself as well. You're just piggybacking on my bracha. So that's allowed to say amen. So if I'm saying a bracha just for you, not for myself, just for you, So then the din should be, it's only for you, and you should not say, Amit, you're on bracha. But if it's ki'ilu, I am not chayv either, the bracha becomes for me as well, in which case you can answer Amit. So it depends on this chakir as well. Just to note, Rabbi Kiv Eger actually says that even though he assumes that I'm saying a bracha for you, just to help you out, not my own chiv, you should still say Amit. Even though the bracha is entirely for Reuven, you still say Amit. So there's a Rabbi Malin, those who don't know, it's a very important sefer. He lived in recently. There's actually a great ma'aser with Rabbi Malin, who's an incredible Talmud Chacham. It's a sefer, a two-volume sefer. It's Chedushi Rabbi Arye Lev. They call him Rabbi Malin. It's on brachos, and the second half's on kachim, really great lumdus. So there's a ma'aser, I'm going to butcher, because I don't know Yiddish at all. I'm not going to even try to say Yiddish. But Rabbi Malin would go to the Satmar Rebbe and just like go in without waiting online. So they once said to the Rebbe, I don't understand, he doesn't have a beard. He was clean shaven. So how do you let a guy without a beard to go in? What is this? It's not a chassid. So he had some remark back like, your beard's not a real beard. His beard is a real beard. I mean, beard isn't about a beard. A beard's about chachma. This guy is a massive, massive Talmud Chacham. He has a greater beard than you guys have. So Rabbi Malin, he discussed this with Rabbi Kiv Eger, about how do you say Amen? If the bracha that I'm saying is only for you, just to help you out, and you're saying Amen to your own bracha, how's that allowed? So if Le Malin's Mechadesh, that the nusach of a bracha that one says, when you're being motzi someone else in this case, Amen is part of that nusach. That's the new nusach. That's the chiddush. The nusach of a bracha when I'm being motzi you is not shakol ne'abedvaro, it's shakol ne'abedvaro Amen. So I say Shakol Ne'abedvaro, you say Amen. It's not an Amen to your bracha, that becomes part of the nusach of the bracha. That's his chiddush. But according to Tzav Sofer, his chakira about saying Amen or not hinges upon whether or not Arvis is Kilu, I am Chai myself. It's my bracha now, and you can answer Amen or no. I'm just helping you out, in which case you can't say Amen to your own bracha. So the many nafkamis, I'll share a couple more with you that you didn't see yet inside. There's a fascinating Marach or Zeruah. Marach or Zeruah is one of the Rishonim. He is a chiddush that if a Talmud, a Bacher, is living by his Rebbe, so he's pater from mitzvahs. Bacher living by his Rebbe is pater from his mitzvahs. Why? So there's an idea, Eved Kanani, when he becomes, the way Eved Kanani works is he's a non-Jew, and he's now bought by a Jewish family. He becomes a partially miktsas gerus. There's a tevila, there's kabbalas al mitzvahs. So it's a miktsas gerus that takes place according to Pashup Shah. And he's chayv to perform mitzvahs, but he's only chayv to perform mitzvahs that whatever women are chayv in. It says la by Isha, there's la by Eved Kanani. So all the mitzvahs that women are chayv and pater from applies as well to Eved Kanani. So why is that? So it's a gzer shava, Pashup Shah. There is the shita of the Gaonim, however. The Gaonim hold that they're not actually chayv in mitzvahs. They're not chayv in mitzvahs. But when they're living in the house of the family, they have to keep the mitzvah. That's the minhag of the bias, to keep mitzvah. They're really pater. Nafkamina being, they talk about. When Eved Kanani runs away, is he chayv to keep mitzvahs? Is he yid or not a yid? So Moshe Shom holds he's a yid, and he has to keep mitzvahs, no matter where he goes. But according to the Gaonim, he only keeps because that's the minhag of the mishpacha. So when he's not in the mishpacha, he runs away. He's pater from the mitzvahs.
That's tevila.
It's just a more of a formal case of ownership. The way the Gemara in Yevamos described, you take the head and you kind of shove it under the water. It's more of a kinyan as opposed to a miktas geiros. That's the understanding. Happens to be there are some interesting discussions about the obligation of a mitzvah of Eved Kanani, that of a woman. You have some instances where women are pater, but would ever be chayv. So, for example, we discussed in the past, women are pater from the Isser of Peyus, the Isser of cutting the zakan. Does that mean also Eved Kanani's pater in those cases? So they explain anything that's something related to the gender, that patur would not apply to Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is a boy, he's a man. So he's chayv. If it's gender related, that would not apply. That patur or chayv would not apply to an Eved Kanani. So you have a number of examples like this. They talk about is Eved Kanani chayv in Puruvu? So a number of Tosafim talk about Sheves, Puruvu. So one of the points they say, well, women are pater. Why they pater? It says Puruvu v'chavshuha. The pasuk says to have children and conquer the world. Darchel Shal Ish, lichvosh ve'ein darchal she'isha lichvosh. Men are conquerors. Men are warriors. Women are not. What Eved Kenani, the Mishnah Melech, talks about. On one hand, Eved Kenani is a man. But on the other hand, he's under the control of a rab. Maybe he's not a conqueror. He's not a warrior. So these are interesting things that come up. But Lamaisa, Pasha Pshad is Eved Kenani is chayv and mitzvahs mederaisa. They're like a mitzvahs geiris. And because he's under the control of his master. So in a similar way, by extension, a Talmud, a Bacher, in the house of his Rebbe, so the din would be, he's also pater for mitzvahs. But he says he's allowed to, if he wants to, he could say a bracha. If he wants to wear tzitzis, he can. He could say a bracha, no different than a woman, mitzvah say she has man grama, she could say brachas, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So if he wants to. He could say brachas.
Rebbe, you have a guest room?
You're looking for a way out? So that's the din. And it's a chiddush. We don't paskin this way, but that's marach or zaru. But in his world, he actually writes further that he's able to be moti someone else though. This bacher, although he's pater mitzvahs, he can be moti someone else. How could it be? He's pater from the mitzvahs. So in Chavetz Chaim Sharon, he explains that it depends on the nature of arvus. If you assume that arvus is that I'm taking on the chiv of someone else, well then, in the end of the day, I'm a bacher in my Rebbe's house. I'm pater. If I'm pater on my own mitzvahs, when I take on his chiv, now it's my chiv, I'm pater again, because I'm pater for mitzvahs. But if you say the obligation is about helping someone else out, although I'm pater, although the mother's pater from bris milah on her own, but she still has the obligation to ensure that her son gets a bris milah, not her chiv, but her son's chiv, so then you could say that he can be motzi someone else, means in arvus, because I'm pater, but I still have an obligation to help those who are chayiv in the mitzvahs. You have a similar machlokas, is a summa bichlal arvus. So that's a machlokas in Achronim. And that too. A summa himself is pater from the mitzvahs. If you say arvus is that he takes on the chayiv of someone else, it's a kilo my chayiv, well, a summa is pater. So each time we take on his own chayiv, it gets pater again because he's a summa. But if the nature of arvus is to help someone else out who's chayiv, even though I'm pater, then a summa would be obligated, would be v'chlal arvus, and could be moti, someone else. And the same achlokas exists by a katan as well. There's a katan v'chlal arvus. So that's a machlokas achronim. So if you say a katan is pater in his own right, and arvus means he takes on the chiv of someone else, kilu he's chayiv, well in the end I'm still katan. So each chiv I take upon myself, well I'm a katan, I'm pater, I'm pater, I'm pater. But if the obligation of arvus is that I just have to ensure that you fulfill your obligation, I can help you out, so then a katan can be bechal arvus. So this machlokas trickles down into many areas. These are just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many different applications. Let's do one last one, which came up with benching and kiddush Friday night. So the din in Shochach, we discussed this in the past as well, that women are chayiv in kiddush, even though it's mitzvah say she has man grama, kol she yeshem b'shmir, yeshem b'zechira, and so much so that women could even be motzi men. But the dogma Ravava, anyone know who, by the way, who wrote the Dagma Ravava? Not the Huda, right? These are his comments on Shulchan Aruch. So Dagma Ravava writes that he's not sure whether or not, if the din would be, if the man davens Ma'ariv, and he should, obviously, he says Vayechulu, in Ma'ariv he fulfills the obligation of Kiddush Deraisa, you don't need to have it in the Yayin, by simply saying Vayechulu Ma'ariv, or any time, you fulfill the obligation, and your wife has not yet said Vayechulu. So how is the man who's only obligated midirbanan for kiddush be motzi his wife who's chayiv on a deraisa level? They're different level chiyuvim. So he raises the rush and the women are not bechal arvus, and he says, I'm not sure what this means. Does it mean they're not bechal arvus in either direction, that women can be motzi men and men can be motzi women? They're just off the grid completely arvus, or does it mean they can't be motzi men but men can be motzi women? That's the suffix of the Dagal Ravava. Rabbi Kivi Eger says, you got the whole thing wrong. When the Rush said women are not Bechal Arvis, that doesn't mean they're not Bechal Arvis. It just means any chiv that they're not obligated to be involved in, that's when they're not Bechal Arvis. But any mitzvah that they're chayiv to do, like Kiddush, Arvis does work. It means when women are pater in, whatever case it might be, in the case of, what case is the Rush talking about again? Lulav, let's say. Lulav. So they're not chayiv and lulav, so they can't be motzi someone else. But when they're chayiv in the mitzvah, such as benching itself is machlokes whether they're chayiv or not, So if they're chai midiraisa and benching, so they could be bechal arvis in both directions. But wasn't to say that they're not connected to the rest of Klai, so of course they're connected to Klai. So while the Dogma of Avra said that they're completely off the, possibly completely off the radar of arvis, the Rabbi Kivi Eger says no. With the chayvin, they include an arvis, and when they're pater from, then they're pater, they're exempt from the arvis. But the Gemara itself in Brachos, Daf Chafim and Bezos, talk about women chayvin benching or not. What's the tzad to say that the pater in benching? What? Excellent. That's right. Rashi says they have no nachala, and Tosa says they're not bechal brischa and tarascha. That's machlokas. Happens to be that the great, it's a beautiful Tosa there, because Tosa asks the question in Rashi. What does he say, Benji? What's the question he has in Rashi? Remember? They have no nachala either, right? Women are pater. They have no nachala. So why do Kohanim Levim? Why do they have to bench? I have no nachala. I'm a Levi. So Tak, if you look in the back, the Shulta Giburim writes, Kohanim Levim are pater benching. The chayim midrabanan, but not chayim midraisa. You know the other answer, Benji? How Benji knows in the sugya? Not in Tosos. The Magid of Rama answers this way. So there's a Magid of Rama on that on the sugya there in Hilchos Birkas Hamazon. He says it could be based on a Rajba, and the Rajba might say this actually, that Levim and Kohanim do have nachla. What's a nachla? Ari Mikla. They do have Machla. Yeshlam Nachla. Ari Mikla, that's a Nachla. So that actually depends on a big Machlokas. The Nachla given, the Ari Mikla given to Levim and Kohanim, is that considered Nachla? Do we own that? Or not? There's a Chakira that appears in the Yushalmi that when the Ari Mikla were given to Kohanim Levim, was it Betoris Chaluka Nitna or Betoris Matana? Was it given as a Chalik Nachla that we own it? And therefore we could say Nachla and Bench Midiraisa? Or was it given it says a matana, meaning that now we own it, but we need a place to live. So just, it's not our ownership, but you can't, you need a place to live, but it's not a nachla. What's a nafkamina? So there are many nafkaminas. Then in order to bring maiser, say, vidur maiser, and mikra bikurum, you have to own land. So if a Levi has land in Ari Miklat, can you say mikra bikurum? Can you say vidur maiser? So it's machlokis tanaim the mishnayos, and depends whether or not you say that it was given to them as a chaluka, or simply as a matana. Or another instance, another nafkamina. There's a Mishnah in Makos that talks about may Yubetu to Gimel. Can a Levi collect rent on Ari Miklat? I rent out my apartment to you. Can I collect rent? Is it mine to own, to rent it out to you? Machlokas and Rashi Tosa there, whether you own it or you don't own it, to collect rent. So the main nafkamina is the nature of Ari Miklat. Either way, that's one of the reasons why women might be exempt from benching, because they have no nachla, or because they're not bechlal taraschan brischa. So if women, says Rabbi Kivi Eger, women are pater from benching midiraisa, so then they're not bechal arvis of benching. But if they're chayim midiraisa, the other side of the Gemara, that they have to bench midiraisa, they're included in bechal tevazvat tevirachta, so then they would be bechal arvis. And one of the riots Rabbi Kivi Eger brings, that they're bechal arvis of benching, is the mice of Yana Hamalko Malkasa. The king and queen were sitting, and they were ready to bench. And they already killed all their rabbanim, daf mem ches and brachos. So they invited Shimon ben Shetach to pimotzi them. And the Gemara says, if he only had a kazayas, he's only chayim midir banan. So if he's chayim midir banan, and if the malchus of the queen had eaten a full kibetza and sabbat shichayim benching midir aisa, how could Shimon ben Shetach, who's only chayim midir banan, be motzi eshes yanai, who's chayim on a deraisa level? It must be that they are b'chal arvus. He could be, even though he's a chayiv himself, but midin arvus, he could help her out, even though she's an isha. Elamai, we see from here that arvus does apply to women whenever the chayiv in that particular mitzvah comes along. The tzlach, and this is the chiddush. The tzlach says no. Women are not b'chal arvus at all. But listen to this chiddush. He says, that Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach with Bechal Arvis with Yan Hamalka. He's a man. That Arvis works. Once the Arvis is present for the king, how do we view Arvis? Do we view Arvis as just trying to help out the king? Or do we view it as if he himself is now Chayiv? Shimon ben Shetach is Chayiv in benching. Says the Tzlach, the Rod Behuda, have you? He says that you're Chayiv in benching. Kilu Shimon ben Shetach is Chayiv in benching now because he's being Motzi, Yan Hamalka, through Arvus, once he's chayv through the king, memel he's chayv midiraisa now. It's kilu he's chayv midiraisa now, Shimon Shetach. Once he's chayv midiraisa, he can then be motzi. Eishes Yana. You hear with that jump? Shimon Shetach himself is not chayv midiraisa. But through Arvus of Yana Yamalka, it's kilu he's chayv now. It changes Shimon Shetach's own chayv now to be chayv midiraisa. Now that the table's been set, he can now be motzi. He's ke'ilu on the same level as Eishes Yanai Timotzi Midiraisa. So either way, we see again, this is just, these are just a number of interesting nafkaminas. We covered a lot of it, but this is a very important chakir to keep in mind. Again, whether Arvis is to ke'ilu your chayv or simply to be parei achov, and it's all depending on these two shitas in the Roshan here, the Ritva versus the Ran. Okay, so we'll stop here. And then tomorrow, I encourage Chazar, we did a lot. We went through 15, 16 shiurim already, a lot of important sugyas. I encourage you to do some Chazar to get it down. David will give us an inspiring shmooze. And then we'll meet Hashem on Thursday. We'll have one final shiur. Okay.